morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Yes, it's Life Wednesday when we're celebrating life and all that that means. Yes, glad to be along with you on this wonderful day. We are in April already. Can you even believe it? April 1st, and there is no fooling around today. We are almost in like a twilight zone. I woke up this morning and it's like Groundhog Day. You know, we're doing it again, right? And I saw lots of memes on social media about the 97th day of March that seemed to drag on and on. Well, we are out of March, the first day of April, and we're so glad to have you here listening today. KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. And of course, you can follow us online, social media. Find us at KSLM Radio. Our website, take us anywhere you go. That might be from the living room to the kitchen, but you can download the app and stream on live at KSLM News. We're news you can use. Want to be of encouragement to you, bring education, engagement, and empowerment. And we really want to team up with you. If you've got an outreach, there's lots going on right here in Marion County, Polk County, in this area of outreach. A lot of rolling up the sleeves, helping make masks. Want to say thanks to all of you that stepped up and picked up masks and are sewing masks at home. Others that are really making a difference in regards to you know, serving at United Way, helping with the homeless. There's lots of energy, lots of enthusiasm, and there's still a heaviness. As I went out and about and got a few items that I needed yesterday, I could just sense this real heaviness and the spirit of heaviness of the unknown. And when we don't have a definite date of when we're going to be able to get back to normal, it can be a little weary and wearing on us. And of course, now in Salem, the Chariots have closed down. They're no longer running the buses and the transportation within the community, as several drivers had come down or tested positive for the virus in an effort to keep everybody close to home and safe. There's no more Chariots running. And then also, there's a lot of discussion the last couple evenings and not a lot of clarification. If you're at home and you've got students at home, or maybe you're a grandma helping with students who need to continue their education, there hasn't been a lot of clarity or clear decisions on what's going to happen past April 28th. And so they're trying to figure out how to make distance learning happen for those at home and those who don't have the internet or access to Wi-Fi, making it available to everybody. And so we'll keep an eye on that. Also, as I'm looking through the headlines, of course, it's easy to see all of the numbers increasing because the tests are becoming more available. And when I look for results in regards to who's coming through and being getting over this virus, it's very hard to find those statistics of those who have had it and now are better. But I did stumble upon an article that I thought was very, very good. There is a doctor in New York, a board-certified family practitioner in New York, Dr. Vladimir Zelkino, I'm probably butchering his name, in New York, who he has successfully treated 350 virus patients with 100% success using a cocktail of drugs, using that Z-Pack and that hydrochloroquine, I think I'm saying that right, combination. He's had 100% success. And so that is good news to see some of those stories. And the best part about this is he said the whole treatment costs about $20 over a period of 5 days with 100% success rate. I'll be sure to put that article on our Facebook page and tag that so you can follow up on that article. Also, looking for things that we need to stay safe and healthy, we have made available to you, and so excited, that Pro Bioscience CBD-based hand sanitizer manufactured right here in Salem. It's natural, super strength to help with the virus. It's very easy to carry with you, very easy to use. If you're out and about in the grocery store, you want to spray down your groceries, you can do so in and it also helps moisturize your hands. I love that part. Super easy to use and carry. You can order yours today by calling 503-877-9877 or go to the website pro-bioscience.com. You may have heard also that the gas pumps, you may be able to go to the gas station and pump your own gas. And that's something very unique to Oregon, having traveled all over the country. Usually you get to pump your gas wherever you go. But here in Oregon, we have folks that attend us, right, and pump our gas. But right now there's been some confusion even over that. And it says the Statewide Joint Information Center and the Oregon Department of Energy provided more clarification Sunday about Saturday's announcement from the Office of the State Fire Marshal, which temporarily suspended Oregon's ban on self-service gas stations. This temporary suspension does not make a self-service mandatory, official said. The intention is to ensure fuel is available to essential personnel who need to travel. And it sounds like it's more about having enough workers to pump the gas and some struggle there for those that are providing for the gas stations to provide. Want to remind you as well that our elections are coming up. I know it's right around the corner, and we have some primary on May 19th, but also for our local elections, our council, our city government, you know, officials, our commission, all of those folks are elected, and that's good. That's like a one-time deal coming up on May 19th. And so you want to get registered, and that registration deadline is April 28th. And if you're going to be out of the town, and you know, which a lot of people aren't traveling, but if you have family that aren't back here and they want to vote, those absentee ballots need to be requested by May 14th for the May 19th election. I just want to keep that in the forefront of our thinking and our process. I just got registered back to Oregon. I haven't been here for 30 years, and I just put my registration in, and so I'm excited to participate in the election. Shifting gears a bit, I am excited. This is Life Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I want to have guests on that are promoting life. Life is important, and we are created, in my world belief, in the image of God, and our lives are important. From conception until natural death, upholding life and standing strong for life. And this station, KSLM, is a life-supporting, stands behind all life. And I'm excited to share with you, and our guest that we have on with us today is from the local pregnancy center. So let me read you a little bit about Hope Pregnancy Clinic. Has served women and families in Salem since 1985. That's 35 years. Richard Riemann founded and directed Hope Center for 30 years. Mike Reed is only the second executive director Hope has ever had. Many Salem area men and women have served Hope as staff, volunteers, board members, and over these many years. Well over 10,000 women have received Hope's free, compassionate, and truthful services. Hope transitioned to become a medical pregnancy clinic 12 years ago. With Dr. Claire King as our medical director, Hope is now able to provide limited ultrasounds, pregnancy care center scans. And what this does is it allows the moms to see the babies real early, is even before 12 weeks, which is pretty amazing. They have 4 paid nurses, sonographers, and a bunch of volunteers who provide excellent and compassionate services to women who are unprepared for pregnancy. They offer women hope in these unique situations throughout the Salem area. Now, Mike Reed, he's directed pregnancy resource centers in 3 different cities in Oregon. He's done so in Portland, Bend, and currently here at Hope Pregnancy Center in Salem. He also has served as the president of CareNet, a national umbrella organization that equips over 1,500 pregnancy centers across the country. Hope Clinic reaches out to women who are unprepared for pregnancy, offering them a wide variety of services that are all free. Last year, Hope served over 691 women, providing them with accurate and truthful information about all of their pregnancy options. Every year, Hope Pregnancy Center has fundraising events, including desserts, runs, baby bottle campaign, and they are planning these dates in the future. Even though that we have the virus, certainly they're still making plans to hold events, even though the dates are shifting and changing. We'll find out here from Mike. And we're excited to bring on Mike. Thank you, Mike, for joining us this morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Stacey, and it's great to be on your program. Thank you.
Well, we're excited. I reading your bio here and getting to know you, having a chance to tour your pregnancy center, having been involved in the front lines of pregnancy, similar ministry in other states. I just have to say, I applaud your team and your efforts and the beautiful center and the services that you're providing here in Salem. How are you adapting with this pandemic that we have going on? Is your center currently open? How is that working for you all?
We've had to abide by the stay home, stay safe edict, and so most of our employees are working as best they can from home. A couple of our nurses are going into the center occasionally because, you know, we still have some active patients. Those are women who have already been into Hope, and we're following up with them. We keep tracking along with them during their pregnancy, even though by the time they have had their complete interview and ultrasound and everything with us, most likely they have chosen to carry their baby to term, but we like to keep following up with them and help fortify that decision all the way up to birth.
Now, reading through your bio here, I didn't realize that you were actually at one time president of the National CareNet Association. Tell me a little bit about that, and what years were you serving in that capacity?
Yeah, right. I was there 2001 and was there for 3 years. It was a wonderful opportunity. And I felt like I was really able to contribute there at CareNet. And but I'll tell you what, living for my family, living on the East Coast in the Washington, D.C. area was tough. And it didn't take us long to start trying to figure out how long we had to stay there and
right.
how to get back to Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have a unique, beautiful culture here in Oregon that even in my couple months of being back, it's like, wow, I didn't realize how much I miss it here. It's
yeah.
such a beautiful place, and there's nothing like it across this country, absolutely. Well, what a blessing it is to the Pregnancy Center network here in the Pacific Northwest to have your skills and your leadership. What is the difference that you see in working in Salem area compared to Portland area and some of the other, or even Bend, in the Pregnancy Center work that you do?
You know, Stacey, and I still live in Beaverton, so I commute to Hope, so and I'm very familiar with the Beaverton area. I've been having lived here most of my life, but I absolutely love Salem. I love the church connectedness at Salem. By that I mean the churches and the ministries there are very supportive of one another. It's a very united ministry approach, and I absolutely love the culture in Salem.
And I agree. It's like a little best-kept secret in a sense. There's such a network. In the short time that I've been here, I've been blessed to connect with people and see just their willingness to go the extra mile to help one another. We're talking with the executive director of Hope Pregnancy Clinic right here in Salem. We'll be back after this as we get into more of the issues of protecting and standing up for life. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, news that you can use. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday morning.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to
good morning, Salem and surrounding area. If you're in Silverton, Dallas, Monmouth, Independence, good morning to you as well. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this wonderful Wednesday. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio, and you can follow us at KSLM Radio on Facebook, and our website is kslm.news. And on the line with me today, so glad to have my new friend, and I know I tell everybody my new friend because I'm back to Salem, and I'm getting acquainted with old friends, but I'm also meeting new friends like Mike Reed, who's the executive director of the Hope Pregnancy Clinic here in Salem. And where is this clinic located, Mike?
Yeah, we're on Market Street. We're just about a half a mile west of I-5.
All right. And when we're not in a shutdown phase because of the mandatory shutdown, what are your hours normally that you would see patients?
Yeah, we're open Monday through Friday from 9 until 5. So we're open. There are some other pregnancy center ministries in the area, but we are the only one that is open full-time every daylight hour. And we're also the only one that provides the medical services to patients.
What's so amazing about the Pregnancy Center, if one of our listeners is not really aware of this outreach and what happens, is anybody who in the community who thinks they may be pregnant have the opportunity to come and confirm their pregnancy first by a test and then potentially by a limited scope ultrasound, which confirms the viable pregnancy. Is that correct? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, you are. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Having been a director myself, I understand how important it is to get the word out and how important it is in our community that we let people know, no matter what belief, no matter where the individual is at, they can come in and feel the grace and the hope and the compassion of oftentimes the very first people they see are volunteers in a pregnancy center. And that's the thing that just is a mind-boggling to me when I think about this whole pregnancy center network and work across the country, is people who will, in a sense, pay to go volunteer to be with these women and bring them encouragement and hope. Tell me about your volunteers there at your pregnancy center.
Our advocates, we call them, work right alongside our nurses and sonographer. And they are the advocates, the volunteers. They're just good women from local churches in Salem that want to help women who are unprepared for pregnancy. And so they find their niche to do that at Hope. So when a patient comes in and fills out her intake form, just like she would in a medical office, when she's all done and ready, then the advocate is the first one to come out and meet with her. And they just meet one-on-one in one of our counseling rooms for about 20 to 30 minutes. And the advocate just asks good questions and seeks to understand the patient, and especially how she feels about this pregnancy, if her pregnancy test is positive, and most of the time they are positive, and what her thinking is. The advocate works to understand if there are any factors in the patient's life that might lead her to be leaning toward abortion or to be vulnerable to maybe think about abortion after she leaves. Sometimes the patients just state outright, if I'm pregnant, I'm going to have an abortion. So the advocate is the one that is there first to try and help the patient understand that they don't have to have an abortion and that there are lots of resources in the Salem area, both government-sponsored and church-sponsored, that can help her knock down some of those factors that she sees that make her think that she isn't ready for a baby or can't have a baby now. So the advocate has a huge role, and we train them well, and they are a full-body part of our staff. I mean, currently, Stacey Ann, we're meeting twice a week by Zoom.
Good.
And we invite our advocates to be a part of those meetings. They are that much a part of our culture.
I know when I ran the pregnancy center, our volunteers and advocates were, client advocates were just considered staff equally
yes.
to our nurses and our sonographers and our other heads of departments. One of the things I think is very important, you talked about training. What people need to understand, even though they're volunteers and they're advocates, these folks go through immense amount of training before they're even in the room. With being trained in the room with someone, they have a lot of training. And then as they're learning how to talk and ask questions and show their compassion in a way that's helping the woman make the best decision for themselves, there's a ton of training. And I think sometimes those against our mission to stand up for life will try to say that we're just kind of fly by the night, not, we only have the baby in mind, those kinds of things. And what I see at your center and so many centers across the nation is you really do, it's all encompassing. You care about the woman. And the proof is in the pudding, because the women who get the information and the statistics show, if one person, women who've lost children to abortion, have said, And I've been through, I've led many seminars helping women come to healing through the loss of an abortion. And they've said, if I'd had one person told me I could do it, one person to stand up beside me and advocate for me, I would have made a different decision. And so the pregnancy centers and these trained advocates are critical in that process. And truly at Hope, having toured through there, every area that you have there, you're working hard for the woman to help them make the best decision for them and their child. How many women typically do you see in a month?
Well, it's 700 divided by 12. It's somewhere in the 60s. It actually, one of the things there's a lot that I love about Hope. And, you know, as you said in the opening, I've worked at a couple of pregnancy centers. And at CareNet, I saw many pregnancy centers. And I feel like I just dropped into a little piece of heaven when I got appointed to work at Hope. Hope is very busy. It's very, somehow, God has made us a pretty visible dot to women who need our services, and they come, and we help a lot of women. It's a very, very vital organization, and you know, I'm really sad that we're closed right now, because those women need us and have called, and they leave messages, and we call them back and do the best we can from the phone.
Oh, and that is, it makes it very interesting that they don't have that access to the help. And on the other end of it, there's a movement across the nation right now in regards to access to abortion, as the pro-abortion folks talk about. We'll get into that here after this break. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, hanging out with Mike Reed from Hope Pregnancy Clinic right here in Salem, Oregon. And you, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back right after this. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning, Salem. I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with you on this wonderful Wednesday, Life Wednesday, April 1st already. Can you believe it? Our weather today, mostly cloudy with high temperature around 50 degrees, overnight low 35. Showers expected Thursday and partly cloudy Friday. Saturday, temperature is about 51. So I think it's a little easier when the weather is a little cooler to be motivated to stay in. I am talking with Mike Reed, who's the Hope Center, Pregnancy Clinic director here in Salem, Oregon. And Mike, I know this is a huge shift for your staff and volunteers at the pregnancy clinic when you're used to showing up every day and being there and just the anticipation of who's coming in and who you can serve. How are your staff doing in adjusting to this abrupt schedule in a sense? Are they doing okay?
Yes, everybody's in good spirits. Like I said, we connect by Zoom twice a week, and we're doing our best. We're like a family. We really love each other, the staff and volunteers, and so it's helpful to stay connected in that way. But I will tell you that our nurses and volunteers are so called to what they do, and they are always doing everything they can to help patients. They are so dedicated and have such stout hearts, and so they're a little bit like race stallions being kept in the stable right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're really not just antsy to get back to work, but they grieve for the patients that they're not able to see. So in that way, it is pretty tough on them.
Well, in your very own name of your pregnancy center, you are filled with hope, and so you're looking for ways to bring hope even in these circumstances. One of the things that you all had shared with me when I was there is this new expansion of services that you're providing parents with education.
Yes.
And tell me how that is going. I know, despite this, how is that plan going for finding coordinator and getting
right.
folks trained and really equipping them for their role as parents and parenting
well,
their children?
I'm glad you asked that, Stacey Ann. That's our parenting initiative that we have started, and we have hired the coordinator, Celeste, and she is an amazing find. And we actually have recruited volunteers for that new ministry. We're calling them mentors. So we have volunteer advocates, and now we have volunteer mentors. And the whole purpose of the volunteer mentors is to meet with those patients who are interested in more help. We are using a program that is used across the country in pregnancy centers called Earn While You Learn. And so our mentors will be taking these volunteers through learning modules, basically aimed at how to make them a better mommy. Some of them are oriented toward just how to have a healthy pregnancy. And the patient earns points. We're going to call them baby bucks. They earn baby bucks for what they accomplish in the learning side. And then they can use those baby bucks to redeem some really great goods like car seats and pack and plays and all kinds of other things that they need to equip them for being a better parent. So to answer your question, we have actually recruited and begun training our mentors, and we would be meeting with patients with them now had we not closed a week ago.
Mm-hmm. And there's really no idea of exactly when you get to reopen, and that's the tough part, I think, for everybody. When do you get to go back to work in a lot of different fields? There's no for sure date. It's kind of an open-ended thing, and I think our humanity has a hard time with that. We just have a hard time dealing with that. And the reality is, women who are pregnant right now, my daughter is due in July with her third. Her work is said, you're a high risk, you're in that high risk category, you need to work from home. She basically was told to go home and work from home. And she has my two other granddaughters there with her. And so, you know, to be pregnant in this time where women also, if they're going in for delivery, I'm understanding, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, many women who are going to the hospital to have a baby are not allowed to bring a support person in. Is that what you're understanding as well?
Well, I know that it is, that yes, there are lots of restrictions about who can go into the hospital, and I didn't know about that, Stacey Ann, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and so another encouragement and hope that you can bring to these women, coaching them maybe through the, you know, social media or through email or however you're coaching and staying connected, because a lot of times in a pregnancy center, yes, you do the pregnancy test, you do the confirmation of pregnancy through an ultrasound, a limited ultrasound, but you also have relationship and you stay in touch with and you encourage them along the way. And this parenting initiative is amazing. I know in our center that we did the parenting class, it helped the women feel like through the months they were preparing and they were better equipped, and also the dads. There's an aspect that allows the dads, the fathers, to be involved in that learning curve and that process as well, helping them be confident whether they're with the mom or not with the mom. It allows them the opportunity to feel confident and comfortable parenting their child. Have you seen some of the men step up and get involved as well?
Well, we are just at the front end of having patients say they're interested, and now we can't do anything about it. So no, we haven't
Not
seen
yet.
Any of the fathers yet. We haven't actually seen any of the patients. It's just, like, so frustrating.
Oh, yes. And the pause button's been hit, but we're going to get going here. We know we're going to get over and around and through this.
Good words.
Tell me a little bit about your fundraising side and how you're funded, because I know the center that I ran for many years, we took no government funds, no state or city or county or national funds to operate, and our budget was around a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. How are you funded to do the great work that you do?
Yes, well, we also accept no government funds. We don't want any of the strings that are attached with that. And all of our funding comes from those who also love our patients and want to help them, and they choose to do it through HOPE. So that is, we actually have 60 supportive churches that either are involved heavily in our fundraising events or just flat out give us monthly support. And we have 900 individuals or couples that support us, many of them regularly. And our budget now, Stacey Ann, is $600,000.
It's fantastic.
Really a phenomenal amount that God provides for us to help so many women. Currently, I mean, I just went into work yesterday to work with the bookkeeper for a few hours to receive our donations and send out thank you letters. And in the month of April, our income was down 50% from the month of March. compared to the previous March last year. So I understand, you know, a lot of our donor partners are experiencing financial hardship and they're needing to pull back, and I completely support them in that. But we are, you know, we're looking at a downfall for we don't know how long.
I visited with a center director yesterday, or someone in touch with fundraising for a center in the Omaha area, and a big, big fundraiser April 2nd for them, like one of the biggest banquets that they have in the nation for a pregnancy center. Of course, they've had to put on hold, and it does put the work that we do a little bit at risk when finances go down. But I remember getting, in 2008, when we went through a little bump in a recession, being the director of the pregnancy center, just knowing that the whole work is provided by, because of our faith, we know that God is our provider, and yeah. And I'm believing for the Hope Pregnancy Center that this may be a little bit of a pause time, but again, the button's going to be unpaused, and you're going to go, 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 and more women are going to be impacted and affected than ever. And if someone wanted to get involved in the pregnancy center and support the pregnancy center, how could they donate to your cause even today?
They could go onto our partner website, which is hopeforsalem.org. That's hope, FORSalem.org. And there is the directions there about how to give. And there's also information about our two upcoming events that are currently scheduled. Our run is still scheduled in the middle of August, and our dessert is still scheduled in November, and there's a little information about that. And we just hope that we'll be able to have those events, and they're meant as a way for people who love our patients and want to work through Hope to be able to participate and do so that way.
One of the fundraisers that we enjoyed doing at our center was the Baby Bottle Change fundraiser. And I'm thinking of families right now as they're home doing projects, cleaning out drawers, finding things that they've forgotten they'd placed in certain places. Maybe you've stumbled upon some change. Maybe you have a jar of change somewhere. And I love the Baby Bottle campaign because it encourages people to take a little baby bottle and put their change in it and bring it to the pregnancy center, their local pregnancy center. Do you guys engage in this bottle fundraiser as well?
Yes, we have a robust baby bottle campaign, and many churches participate in it. And last year, we raised like $70,000.
Wow.
Through change dollars and checks in those baby bottles. So our baby bottle campaign is usually from Mother's Day to Father's Day. So since churches are not meeting, our baby bottle campaign is currently on hold.
Okay, so but they could still collect in a jar, and then when everything gets going again, they could bring it in somehow, some way, right?
Virtually. Had some ladies who wanted to give us a donation from their church, and they called, and I returned the call, and they figured out that I was going to be in the building for a few hours yesterday, so they came and did a dead drop on the back door and knocked on the door and then stood
and
6 feet away.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Well, we get real creative, and even thinking of those that we can't see that are homebound, like my grandma, my aunt, and my cousin went to go see her, and they're not supposed to have visitors, and they're taking mm-hmm. pictures from a distance, you know, outside her apartment or whatever. She's 93 years old, and so we can get creative in ways to keep supporting the mission, right? The things that we are passionate about. We're talking with Mike Reed from Hope Pregnancy Clinic right here in Salem, Oregon, and how they're getting through this time, just like you and I. We're all making adjustments through this season, and we're all better together, that's for sure. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, news that you can use. We'll be back after this break. Thank you for tuning in, my friend.
Good morning.
Good morning. April 1st already. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Wednesday morning, Life Wednesday, as we continue about embracing life, talking about how we can stand up with life and for life and with women who are experiencing unplanned pregnancies. And I am talking with Mike Reed, the executive director of Hope pregnancy clinic right here in Salem, Oregon. And Mike, you know, having worked in the pregnancy center field and in the pro-life field myself actively since about 2004 to about 2017, so quite a big jump in years. I saw lots of transition in that time, and the biggest one is the realization through the medical tools of ultrasound. There is no denying when you see the baby, and we know this for many years, even when I was pregnant with my first son in 1990 and saw the ultrasound, and it wasn't as developed as it is now, there's no mistaking that you have a whole unique living, separate living human being right there with you. And the addition of technology and being able to provide that service within a medical clinic allows men and women to have that realization that this is just not a blob of tissue, that it's not what some would try to confuse the issue and say that it's, you know, just a product of conception. There is a whole unique living human being, and we have a responsibility to make some decisions here. You being in the pregnancy center movement a long time, you did probably just pregnancy tests only and then transitioned into the medical field. It makes a difference being a medical clinic, doesn't it?
Oh, it was such a game changer for us when ultrasound became available.
And the reality is there's some additional expenses and costs that come up with that, like training the nurses, making sure the sonographers have the training, the ongoing training, the necessary medical insurance, and all of those things, the HIPAA regulations. You are a medical clinic working in are free to the community access, no charge, no charge to the person coming in. And that is such a valuable resource to a clinic. And research has been done and studies have been done what that saves, even just an emergency room. You know, a lot of gals have utilized emergency rooms to find out if they're pregnant or they're not feeling well and they don't understand and then they're pregnant, you know. And so having these resources in our community is a great asset to Salem and the whole area. As far as your staff and your nurses and sonographers, how many do you have on hand to help when you're operating and not in a shutdown phase?
Right. We have three RNs on staff and then one sonographer. And so one of them is always on site. Usually two, and actually many times now three are on site. And we typically can see two patients at any given time, but with that third nurse on site sometimes, and that's Meredith, she's our lead nurse, and sometimes she's in her office just doing administrative work. But if we have a walk-in come in and both of our nurses that are on duty seeing patients are busy with patients, then Meredith will see that walk-in. We have a little small room that she's able to do the counseling with, and they double up on the ultrasound machine.
That's wonderful. And you actually have the capacity to do two at one time. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have. We just recently did a build out thanks to many generous donors in Salem. And we added an entire little wing that gave us room to see a second patient at any one time. The reason for that, Stacey Ann, is we were so busy that we were turning patients away when they would walk in. We wouldn't have any space to be able to see them if
Wow.
we were already with a patient. So now we can always see two, and like I said, sometimes three. And we have two beautiful brand new ultrasound machines that were donated to us by the Knights of Columbus, which are a fraternal part of the Catholic Church. They were just very generously got on board to get those for us.
Well, and I just want to do a shout out to the Knights of Columbus throughout the whole country and all the ultrasounds that they provided and training for those. It's phenomenal how they've stepped up in the movement to provide these needed this medical equipment and the needed skills to provide this access to moms and dads experiencing unplanned pregnancy. And now I think some of the language has changed here in your bio. You don't necessarily say unplanned pregnancy. You're using it as unintended. Unprepared for pregnancy. I love it. Having met, speaking about unplanned, having met Abby Johnson and spent time with her, she is a phenomenal story in regards to once being a director of an abortion clinic and having a realization that that's not where she wants to be. And now she is an advocate and she has written a book called Unplanned, and kind of about that process. And there's a movie about her life and that transition and how that happened. And I encourage our listeners, while you are homebound, perhaps you can look up that book, Unplanned, or maybe even the movie. There's been other movies too that have been incredible out there, pro-life movies. I think you can even put Google pro-life movies and you can get get some insight on this movement, what's going on. Certainly the pregnancy centers. Do you know by chance, Mike, how many pregnancy centers through all the affiliates are out there now throughout the country?
There's, I think, 2,500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, several communities throughout several states have pregnancy centers, pregnancy help centers, pregnancy resource centers, medical clinics, even vans and buses that work in rural areas, hard to reach areas, urban areas. And I encourage you, if you're looking for to get plugged in and get involved, have some volunteer time. If you're a retired nurse or doctor and you want to get connected and want to be involved, not only financially, but also of your time, I encourage you to get involved in the Pregnancy Help Center right here in Salem, or if you're listening from far away. Some of us still tune in online at KSLM.news. We encourage you to get involved. The Pregnancy Help Center is like an unknown mission field, isn't it, Mike?
Yes, and it is such a rewarding one.
Yes, and you have an opportunity to really look at the woman and help her through looking all aspects, the mental health, the physical of what's going on with the pregnancy, but also the spiritual component, and really have an opportunity to bring hope and peace in a place that sometimes is very confusing for these women. Do you have a quick story that you can tell us to encourage us today?
Yes. We had a patient come in who was addicted to meth, and she came with a mentor. And at the end of that meeting with her, the mentor said to the nurse, Meredith, do you remember me? And she didn't. But so she reminded her that she herself had come in 4 years previously addicted to meth. And we had helped get her connected to one of our community resources. And she actually went that day. We called them, and they came and picked her up throughout the back door because her boyfriend and meth provider was sitting in our lobby. She went out the back door, and she actually was in that program and became completely free of meth. And now she works there as a mentor, and she brought this patient in on that day.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't that a great story?
It is. You never know what you're gonna find in a day. Thank you, Mike, for joining us today. Hope Pregnancy Clinic in Salem, Oregon. I encourage our listeners to get plugged in, get involved. Thank you, Mike. Have a wonderful, blessed day. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. Enjoyed my time with you today, my friend. Follow us online at kslm.news. Find us on Facebook, KSLM Radio. We'd love to hear from you. If you have an event, something going on, an outreach during this particular time, email me. Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. Remember, you and I, my friend, we're overcomers, over, around, under, or through. Be filled with hope and have a fantastic day.